Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
I've got nothing but local stories to pass along to you now. Steve, I thought about another segment and calling this one. You ready?
Let's hear it.
This is the City Beat.
City Beat.
Yeah.
But who are you?
I don't know.
Is a City Beat with Preston Elliott?
You'd have to come up with a character.
How about the Master Beater?
Oh, man.
I am the Master Beater with the City Beat. I don't know.
That's not bad.
And I couldn't even tell you a good piece of music. I just came up with this last second, so.
Sort of gumshoe sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Private detective stuff on the City Beat.
Yeah, private dick.
Yeah, a private dick. Not a public dick.
No, private dick.
Yeah, private dick.
Exclusive only, club members only for this dick.
Dick Beat.
Dick Beat?
There it is.
Oh, come on, man.
There it is.
We can barely get away with that. The City Beat. Name's Dick. We could use the Harry Knuckles music case. Do you want something different?
Harry Knuckles.
By the way, this is how we do things. We don't actually plan them ahead of time.
It was a surprise. This is how, organically, that's how you end up with wonderful names like Dick Beat.
Yeah.
Wait, you want this one?
I don't know.
No, not quite what we're looking for. Marissa, do a search on detective music and see what you come up with. I have no idea what that would be, but hang on a second. What?
So my initial thought is like an NYPD Blue, kind of like Beatty. Not the theme song. I'm going to do some searching.
Right. You need a Raymond Chandler, Dashiell Hammett sort of gumshoe, private dick public.
All right, Dick Beater.
Dick Beat. Yeah, Dick Beat.
Right. Oh, my God.
Listen, we don't know the jargon.
We are going to go to a guest that actually we're having
The guest is still on after hearing all that?
Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe. But it has to do with the fact that the St. Louis Blues made it into the Stanley Cup championships for the first time in over 50 years. I'm originally from St. Louis. So, when the Flyers aren't winning, I'm definitely cheering for the St. Louis Blues. I grew up a Blues fan.
Completely understandable,
I'm wearing my Blues jersey this morning. And there is an interesting connection with Philadelphia and the St. Louis Blues, and I'm happy to hear this because these are my two favorite cities that have this connection together. And I think it's wonderful. And there are some cities that are that way; they have kindred spirits. And it all happened when a few Blues players that were in town ended up in this bar in South Philly, and I'm going to have to get the rest of the story. It's a little bit complicated,
but it's interesting.
It has to do with a song that the team has now adopted, the city has now adopted. They were playing it last night in the arena at the Victory. So we're gonna get the owner of the bar on the line right now. This is Mikey Montavalco. We're calling him Scoo because that's his name, apparently. So, Mikey, how you doing?
How are you guys? Thanks for having me.
No problem. Montecalvo is how you say your last name, right?
There you go. Perfect.
All right, cool. So I understand. What time did you guys wrap up this morning?
Oh, that's all kind of a blur. at maybe 3, 4, 5.
Oh, my God. So I was getting up.
There right now.
There's still people there. All right, so do me a favor. We have a bunch of questions for you. So give us the story, and I'm sure you've told it over and over again, but how did this all come about?
Yeah, I mean, guys, this is pretty surreal.
Yeah.
You know, we're a Mummers Brigade. It's called the Jacks NYB. About the summer last year, a friend of ours named Eddie Renzi, he just loves this song. It's a hype song for him. It's an old school, obviously, from 1982.
Right.
But it's just one of those, like, kind of feel-good type songs. So he's playing it nonstop through the summer. We're playing it for the parade.
And by the way, for those who don't know, it's Gloria by Laura Branigan.
Correct.
Okay. So, that's okay.
he's playing it, and we get up to the parade, and it's kind of our clubhouse song. And we put it on, everybody gets jacked up, and we just started, going crazy with it. Well, fast forward, January 1st, the Jacks, New Year's Brigade, we end up winning first place.
Awesome.
I mean, we are going bananas. The club morale is through the roof. I mean, every day, every night, people are at the clubhouse, and everybody's just going crazy. Mm-hmm. And then 5, 6 days later, on January 6th, the Eagles were playing the Chicago Bears with Nick Foles again in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, we started getting a party together. So, we get a DJ, his name's Matt Chella, a friend of ours, Larry Flowers. gives us word that the Blues are flying in. They had an off night on that day that the Eagles were playing, and that a couple of the Blues players wanted to get some cheesesteaks and just watch the Eagles game. So we were like, yeah, come by, you know, we'll put them over here. We'll order some steaks from Oregon Steaks.
Hey, Mike,
we'll have a good time.
Mike, did Larry know somebody on the team or something?
Yeah. So Larry is kind of hooked up with the NHL. He owns a jewelry store, and he's really good friends with Scotty Upshaw. Kind of started with Scott.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And then with Shen and Lupo, a couple older Flyers.
Yeah.
Shen's obviously on the Blues now. One of our members is Justin Postiglione. Him and Larry are best friends.
Okay.
So it was kind of, I know it's long story.
It's all right.
That one. But all in all, they came here on January 6th. The moment they walked in, we got about 40 members in the club.
Yeah.
We started going, let's go Flyers. Let's go. It was great. It was great. They start cracking up laughing, but it kind of broke the ice a little bit. You know, you got to put yourselves in their shoes.
Yeah.
They're walking into this local corner bar. They're texting Larry on their way there. Yo, are we going to the right place? everything turned out about 10, 15 minutes later. It was like sitting next to one of my friends that I grew up with my whole life. I mean, really cool, down-to-earth dudes. Eagles start winning. Nick Foles again. He's doing it again.
Yeah.
DJ's playing the song. And all of a sudden, the guys just start saying, hey, Matt, play Gloria. Just keep playing Gloria.
All right.
And the guys just fed off it, man. Okay. I mean, the environment was electric. And it transferred over to the Blues.
Because that day, that right from that moment on, Mike, and by the way, they were in last place.
Dead last.
Yeah, so that's kind of the backstory, too.
Yeah.
They were in January 3rd, the St. Louis Blues were the 31st ranked team in NHL.
Yeah.
On January 7th, that next day, that Monday,
uh-huh.
they played the Flyers. Yeah. The goalie, Jordan Binnington, that was his first ever start. They shut out the Flyers 3-0.
Yep.
They go on from that day, the next day, they go on to win 11 straight games.
God almighty.
A franchise record.
Yeah.
And then they got into first place in their division, and now they're in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Come on.
And Mike, and
incredible.
And they had made that song a part of their ritual in the locker room to get ready for games and feel that it's a part of the success.
Can you freaking believe that? So, and apparently it was like they were playing it last night, right? They were playing it
all playoffs. Yeah, yeah. Every time they score, yeah. Mike,
it's 2 months. It's been nonstop. I mean, you got a radio station in St. Louis about a week ago who played it for 24 hours straight.
They played it nonstop.
Holy no way. Uh-huh.
Mike, I want to ask about a photo you guys have on your Instagram page. It's of Layla Anderson, and she's wearing a Play Gloria shirt. And can you speak a little bit about what she's gone through? And because she's been at all these games as well.
Oh yeah, this one touches you. It gets you. So Layla, she's from St. Louis, and it's kind of like the rallying cry there in St. Louis. She had bone marrow treatments. She went through 20 months of chemo, and she ended up is about 2 weeks ago. She ended up getting her last treatment, and she goes and like all chemo patients, when their last treatment is done, they ring the bell.
Yeah.
We see the video shared to us from the actual St. Louis Blues themselves. She rings the bell, and the first thing she does is screams, "Play Gloria!"
Oh.
I absolutely lost it.
Oh.
Like, lost it. This little girl, man, she really touched us. So we got her contact information. Obviously, our shirts. We trademarked the slogan "Play Gloria."
Yep.
We have T-shirts, by the way. Email us at thejacksnyb@gmail.com if you want a shirt.
Yeah, I want to get one, man, for sure. I'm a Blues fan.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But we sent her out, her and her family, shirts, and she ended up wearing it for us the other day, and we posted it and everything. And we're in contact with her. Actually, last night after the game, our co-captain Nick Faschini, he had her on FaceTime. And we had her in the club FaceTime, and we're screaming, "Let's go, Layla!"
That's awesome.
It was amazing.
That's so cool.
Hey, and Mike, did they go to you guys live at the bar last night in the arena?
Well, it was taped.
Okay, but there was video that they.
I was in contact with the promotion guy at the Blues. He told us to put a little hype video together. So we got all of our kids and a bunch of guys, and we sent one to them. And they played it on the Jumbotron at the game. Yesterday.
All right, so real quick, I want to go back to that night on January 6th. How many players from the Blues were at your place?
It was five.
Five. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess the
captain of he's not the captain, but he is the I compare him to the Brian Dawkins of the Blues. It's Alexander Steen.
Okay.
It was Steen number one. You had Edmondson, Schwartzy, Bortuzzo, and Fabry.
Yep.
But leaving after January 6th, we're getting pictures of Steen's wearing our T-shirts on flights in between games. And he's the one, him and Bortuzzo are the one that are really carrying this like through and through. We didn't find out until about the first week of February that they were using the song as their victory song.
Yeah.
And then we come to find out that Steen was really the one that is the motor behind this.
Okay. Wow. That's awesome. By the way, so Jack's NYB, so the bar, is that a club-only bar, or is that open to the public?
No, it's kind of touchy. We got to be careful a little bit.
You got some rules you have to follow.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a New Year's Brigade. It's a private club, members only. However, we're just wrapped up in this, So, So what we decided is about 2 months ago, we opened our doors to every Blues game to Blues fans.
Oh.
And I mean, it's been a whirlwind. I mean, our story locally kind of skyrocketed off the map about 2 weeks ago. We had the Associated Press follow us around for about 5 days.
let me ask you. So with opening up the doors to Blues fans, what kind of crowds are you averaging?
Last night was probably the biggest. We had about 150 people.
That's you'd get that for a Flyers game here.
Yeah, it's amazing. Right. Next week the Cardinals are coming in. I wake up. I got a splitting headache. Didn't get home until 4 a.m. I look at the emails and the comments on social media. You got dozens of people coming in from St. Louis for the Cardinals game, and they're saying, "We're skipping the game. We're coming to your place."
Well, I got to make it down there then. If there's a game that's not that doesn't it's not on a school night for me when I got to get up and do a freaking radio show at 5 o'clock
like
in the morning.
Today's Saturday.
Well, for you it is. It's so awesome. It's so cool too. For us to sort of the city sort of tacitly adopt. And Preston has a legitimate connection, but it's cool to see this, them do well. And the story behind, especially with you guys, is sort of organic. But and Laura Branigan, is she still alive?
Oh yeah,
She passed away in 2004. But her record label, the owner of the record label, she's been in contact with us from 2 months ago.
Wow,
Kathy, she's incredible. She's on this journey. The Blues themselves, the players, we still text them. Everybody in this process, the fans of St. Louis, and now locally, over the last week locally, our neighborhood, our friends, our family, the reporters, everybody, we're just so thankful, man.
Yeah,
everybody is just embracing us, and we're just going with it. Every other day. It's every other day.
Well,
I'm so thankful that the game isn't until Monday. I can break my liver.
You wouldn't make it. Yeah.
Now, here's the deal, Mike. We can't let Boston win another freaking national championship
isn't
anything.
Epic? Isn't it epic? We're playing Boston. Oh, yeah.
Did you see that? You see that meme floating around? It's a billboard up. I guess it's up in Boston. Not unless it's legit. It says it's been 104. We're going through a drought. It's been 140 days since our last championship.
Oh, no.
Shut up. Enough.
All right. Well, this is such a great story, man. We're really happy for you guys. And listen, It also, to me personally, as a St. Louis native, it makes Philly seem even that more inviting to people who have never been here before.
Or who hate Boston.
Or who have a bad perception of our city, you know?
Right.
A look at that. I think that's really awesome. So,
Nice
job, Mikey. That's great,
Thank you.
Why do they call you Scoo?
It's just a childhood thing from our corner where we hung at 16th and Jackson.
Okay. And you guys are real tight, that neighborhood, I hear.
You know, there's an article in Philly.com by Eddie Barkowitz.
Yeah.
The line he uses, we're going to frame it in our clubhouse. He basically says it's like watching Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Only there's 40 of them.
Okay.
We're best friends, born and raised South Philly.
Yeah.
We all live within a mile of each other. And we're just enjoying this ride.
Well, awesome. You're representing the city really wonderfully, and it's a wonderful vibe, and kudos to you guys for pulling it off.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. Mikey. We appreciate it, Mikey Montecalvo.
Yeah!
Jack's NYB, Mumbers Brigade, 16th, and Moya Mensing. It's funny because they've managed to stretch out the hockey season. For the overwhelming majority of people in Philly don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I think it's great. They're loving this. And the pictures and the video of the bar last night, they're going crazy. You would have thought that, you know, the Flyers won the Stanley Cup looking at this, because it's all in blue.
And this is good for me, Preston, because prior to this, whenever I'd hear this song, I'd think of the movie Flashdance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you remember that scene?
Was it in
there? They're ice skating.
Oh.
That girl is ice skating. So if I could replace that with hockey, that'd be very cool.
Dude, Mummers crack me up. these guys, for some reason, latched onto this song. And I mean, this is before the blues, but this is their jam. This is what gets them fired up. These South Philly hard blue collar guys dancing around the bar to this every night. And then the St. Louis Blues adopted. It's just, you can't make a story like that up. Dare I say, there's a movie in the works. If the Blues win, if they win the Stanley Cup, this could be a goofy comedy, weird, funny, awesome movie.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's an Invincible type story.
Wow.
So I was watching the game last night, and I've been rooting for the Blues since the beginning of the playoffs, since the Flyers didn't make it, what I didn't know is that the Blues were in the Stanley Cup Finals 3 years in a row. They used to have two divisions. It was the expansion teams versus the original six.
Yeah.
And the last time they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals was 1970 against the Boston Bruins. They haven't been in 49 years. It's a really interesting story to, if you're a hockey fan, to watch where this team has come from. And to root for Craig Berube and root for Braden Schenn is, I think the best the Flyers can do season.
It's a Flyers presence.
The Flyers are first and foremost in my heart, but if you're going to root for anybody, you might as well root for the Blues and, root against Boston.
Yep. We always root on the Flyers and the eventual teams they end up in that win the Stanley Cup.
I was wondering what the number of ex-Flyers who have gone on to do well after leaving this town is staggering.
We are really owed money from other cities for the incredible training program we conduct here.
You want me to get some other things in the city beat?
Yeah.
Yes! Let's see. That's all right. All right, there's another one, Casey. Let's try the other piece of music. We're trying to figure this out. Now, I don't think you'll like this, Steve. You'll love the music, but I don't know if it fits here or not.
Because that's Rockford Files.
Yep.
He's pounding the beat, and he's pounding himself.
My name's Dick.
Dick.
No, I can't see. So, Jason Segel has been spotted around Philadelphia.
Yes, he has. He's working on a project, right? That's what they say.
That's correct. Some people have seen him shopping at the South Street Whole Foods, or walking around Center City, or having dinner at A Kitchen.
Humming Gloria.
But, he's walking around humming the song Gloria. But Segel is in town to work on AMC anthology series dubbed Dispatches from Elsewhere.
Hmm.
Or Dispatches from Elsewhere, I guess.
Dispatches from Elsewhere.
According to the Hollywood Reporter, the series will feature stars Sally Field. Oscar nominee Richard E. Grant. He was nominated for Can You Ever Forgive Me? And Eve Lindley, in addition to Segel, who is also credited as its creator. So he's in town.
We had him on the show years ago, and great guy. We're big fans. haven't seen him in a while. So if anyone knows where he is or hanging out, send us the information.
We had him in studio prior to his Muppets movie, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and it was right after Forgetting Sarah Marshall, which was, I think, a revelation to all of us.
We were already I was watching him on How I Met Your Mother as well. Couldn't have been a nicer guy.
The 10-episode series is scheduled to begin filming in Philly in July.
Oh, so he's probably just doing the groundwork now.
That's, yeah, they're probably getting all the scouting done. And it will debut in 2020. It's currently scheduled to take place through November, so he's going to be in town for a while. Thing about that, though, is when they come in town to work, they work.
They work, yeah.
They don't do press, usually. So,
well, anyone
we can work on that.
Yeah, and anyone who's ever been on this show has said it's been a lot of work and unenjoyable.
What?
Oh, no, I'm just making that up.
On our show?
Yeah, there's a level of work.
No, but they're busy. They've got to get their stuff done, and they also don't want to draw attention to where they are.
Yeah.
Because they need to be quiet and not a lot of people around.
I don't think we've ever had anyone on that's been working.
No.
It's only been Always Sunny. And that's it.
Yeah. And what they always do, Preston, and this is what they do, and you understand it, they'll say, hey, listen, we'd love to, but when we're on the promotional end for the show, we'll do that.
Yeah.
And so that's how it usually works out.
I'll talk to my friend Sharon Pinkinson over at the Greater Philadelphia Film Office because they're giving updates on all the stuff. In fact, they've posted that the production is seeking positions for the Philly shoot.
Well, then there we go.
So go to film.org, which is the official website of the Greater Philadelphia Film Office, if you're interested in being a part of it. But Sharon would be able to tell us a bunch. There's actually a lot of really cool things that are going to be happening filming-wise in our area this year. And a lot of big stars are going to be in town. And Sharon could give us the update on that.
We just have to convince them to not be as committed to their performances and take a day off now and then.
Yeah.
And come by the show here.
So according to The Hollywood Reporter, Field will play a recently widowed woman, while Grant will portray the head of a secretive organization, and Lindley, a transgender actress, will be featured as a young transgender woman who works in a museum. What Siegel's role will be in the series is unclear at this point.
Mm. I love Sally Field.
She's great. She's phenomenal.
Legend.
Yeah.
She's in one of my
Brothers and Sisters, of course.
She was also with that. Yeah.
She's in one of my all-time favorite movies, Places in the Heart.
All right. And then one more thing from the City Beat. No, not that part of it. Start from the beginning. There we go. We had mentioned this earlier this morning, but it's definitely worth bringing up. The restaurant named Cadence, which is a BYOB on Girard Avenue, was named the best new restaurant by Food and Wine.
This is a super well-respected journal in the world of the culinary happenings.
Yeah.
And so this is a big honor.
I wonder how do you submit yourself and then they come and visit you? Like, how did they even find it?
They said the person who went out, well, yeah, that's a good point, but the person who went out to do the final, to put the final list together was traveling thousands of miles to different places. So, yeah, but how does that initial basic list get formed? I don't know.
This is on the heels of that other place, Zahav, that was won the Beard Award.
So suck it.
Yeah, it's huge.
Who are you saying suck it to?
Just generally in people who would besmirch our restaurant scene.
Especially Boston.
Especially Boston, if you're listening.
I wonder how often this restaurant award goes to BYO restaurants. Because it's especially with a publication like Food and Wine, you would think it would go to a place that served wine. But this one does not.
It's a good point. So the critic, Jordana Rothman, flew to 24 cities, racking up about 30,000 miles to create the top 10 list. So it's one person,
yes,
who makes this decision. So it's a little bit different than the James Beard Award, which is a lot of people. There's votes amongst a lot of critics for that. But this is one person, so keep that in mind. But still, it's a wonderful honor.
I also wonder if they know when they're coming.
Yeah,
that's usually not the case.
They usually try to be incognito.
My understanding, Press, is that she will fly around and say, what's the closest restaurant to this airport?
And that's how she decides which one she's going to go to.
All the restaurants are right next to the airport.
So the reason it won, it was indicated as simple pleasures and serious food. For once, you don't have to choose between them.
I like that.
And she went on to say that it was, or no, I'm sorry, that's all that I have from that.
But like, so is she, how many times did she go? How many different dishes did she try?
She ate there 227 times.
Right. I don't know.
And tried everything on the menu.
Usually when a restaurant reviewer, a critic, they just go in and sit down and have one meal. And they base it on that, you know?
Do you remember the lonely guy?
Yes.
So he's Steve Martin's this guy who's, you know, he has to eat alone all the time. So he's whenever he goes out, he presents himself as a food critic.
Yeah, he brings a little notepad and just presents or just pretends as if he's a food critic. So, oh, that's why that guy's sitting there by himself.
Right. Yeah.
I love the dynamic in the movie Chef with Favreau.
Yes.
And it's Oliver Platt, I believe, that plays the critic. And yeah, it's, if you've never seen it, it's a great movie.
But you're right, Preston. They usually go in and have a meal and try to pick what they consider a representative selection.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if the, if it's common for a follow-up meal, but they, I figure they figure the first experience is the experience.
In that movie, Chef, he goes and, John Favreau gets wind that he's going to be there and he plans this really elaborate, awesome meal. And but the owner of the restaurant, who is Dustin Hoffman, says, no, just the regular menu. This is what we're going to do. And
go with what got us here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it bores the living crap out of Oliver Platt, and it, it turns into this. It's a really great movie. So anyhow, Cadence is a collaboration among Chef John Nodler and his wife, pastry chef Samantha Kincaid, and Chef Michael Fry, who met while working at Fork High Street Market and a kitchen. So they've all been involved with all of those places.
I love that it's also number one.
Yeah.
The number one across the entire country.
It was named one of Food & Wine's five best pastry... I'm sorry, Kincaid was named one of Food & Wine's five best pastry chefs in America in 2014 when she was at Fork. So she was already on their radar.
Yes.
And so maybe that's kind of what led them...
Helped inform it, yes.
To go by there. Or I'm sure that this woman... Probably the reviewer or critic, I should say, hit a lot of places in Philly, I'm guessing. But in the order, you have Cadence is number one in Austin, Texas, Suerte.
Suerte.
Frenchette in New York. Conby in Los Angeles. Kumiko in Chicago. These are all one-word names.
Manny's Chili Dogs.
Ah, that's on there. No, Pat's Chili
Pat's
Dogs.
Pat's Chili Dogs. Yes.
Pat's Chili Dogs.
Definitely the best theme.
Yes.
Food is number one in Food & Wine magazine. Yeah, baby.
That was from the band Cinderella when they were big in the area. They did
we're Warren. We were in town. We watched the good chili dogs. We always read through Food & Wine magazine to see who won.
They did a commercial for Pat's Dogs.
Pat's Dogs.
Is now a we buy gold.
Oh, is it really?
We buy gold. Gold for sale. No more chili dogs. I'm not going west. Next step, selling blood.
Yeah. So number six on this list is Ada. Which is Ada Indian Canteen.
Ooh, I love canteens. When you're going out, you need water.
Fox and the Knife in Boston.
Boston sucks.
Hey, we beat Boston.
Yeah. Love me some good Fox.
There you go.
Suck at Boston.
How's the Fox at this place?
Indigo in Houston. Nightshade in Los Angeles. And in New Orleans, a place called Piece of Meat.
There you go. You know, it's I think one of the most difficult parts of a restaurant would be a name that... means something and pops to people.
Yeah.
You know, like Pat's Chili Dogs.
Right. That's...
Pat's Dogs! Pat's Chili Dogs!
Yeah. I mean, you know, the name will only get you so far, but it is an added bonus. Answer the phone, by the way. Thank you very much. I don't know. If you had a restaurant, what would you name it?
I'd name it Answer the Phone.
Yeah, thank you. Because I'm sorry. I'm tired of waving my arms. Yeah. It's been happening the last few days, and I'm just going to say Answer the Phone.
Yeah, answer the goddamn phone.
Yeah, answer. In fact, I'll say it that way.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
should be the name of the restaurant.
Answer the goddamn.
Answer the goddamn
phone. Answer the goddamn phone. Great food. Answer the goddamn phone. Open all night.
So, congratulations. That's cool.
It is an incredible. It's such a source of pride. You know, you got New York. You got Boston with their fox-eating place.
Mm-hmm. especially in Kensington, by the way. I mean, it's, you know.
Yes.
It's an up-and-coming part of the city, but it has its struggles. And, it's you know, that's not undocumented. This is not a restaurant in the highfalutin part of Society Hill or Center City. This is it's Kenzo.
Yeah, you're right.
It's Kenzo.
Some other places that have been on the radar for food and wine. Let me see. They had a list of
food and wine.
Yeah, some of the other restaurants. But you know what? I lost this.
Local places that are on the radar?
Yeah, that have.
Oh, I didn't realize they had a breakdown of those as well.
Yeah, Rooster Soup Company, now known as The Rooster, made the top 10 list in 2017.
Is this your city beat? This is better.
I like this.
Yes,
city beat.
I like this.
Eli Culp, a partner in such restaurants as High Street on Market and New York's High Street on Hudson, was one of the best new chefs in 2014. The Vegan Temple Veg, we were just talking about that last year, was included in a food and wine list of the 40 most important restaurants of the last 40 years.
It's an excellent restaurant.
Our buddy Nicholas Elmy, Laurel, and ITV and Royal Boucherie got a food and wine spread in 2014 as well. So a lot of places, which is really cool.
Good eating.
Yeah, man. Listen, we're lucky. If you want to get great food, you have no problem finding it in Philadelphia. That is absolutely for certain. Hang on a second. Ben works in the restaurant industry. Wants to give us insight on how they get the reviews and so on. Hey Ben, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up? So we're talking about how many times restaurant.
Well, hang on a second. Your signal went a little funky. Start over.
There we go. Is that better?
Yeah, better. Yeah, go ahead.
Ah, cool. So we were talking about, like, you know, how many times restaurant reviewers come in. And a lot of times, you know, like, yeah, they'll sometimes come in just once. But some of the more, like, well-known, you know, local reviewers, people like, for instance, Craig LeBan, a lot of times they'll come in one, two, maybe three times.
Oh.
And you won't know when they're coming in. It'll be a surprise. You know, if you're a restaurant manager, sort of worth your weight, you know, what these guys look like. You know, but so when you're reading these reviews and you see all these dishes, they'll come multiple times, sometimes with friends, coworkers, family, you know, and they'll try everything, try a little bit of this, try a little bit of that. And you see that later when you're reading the reviews, you're like, oh yeah, he did try that drink. And oh yeah, he didn't like that. Or he tried that dish or whatever.
So Ben, you as a manager can sometimes go, I think that guy's a reviewer or a critic.
It's not a matter of think. I know.
Ah.
I know what Jason Sheehan looks like. Well, he's not exactly as secretive, but like I know what Craig LeBan looks like. You know what I mean? Like I know to look out for these guys.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my job. That's what I'm.
Or like Michael Klein.
And when they come in, do you make sure that everything is absolutely perfect?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Especially in a new restaurant, and you're looking for these guys. You know, we have a game plan. Like, I might say tonight, you know, if so and so comes in and he sits in your section, I'm going to switch you with a different server because they're a little more, you know, they're a little stronger, they have a better menu knowledge, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to alert the kitchen, you know, let the bartenders know, and we're going to treat them like a normal guest. We make no, you know, you don't act like you know who they are.
Right.
But you're going to make everything as perfect as possible.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No disguises or anything. They come in as who they are.
Appreciate it, Ben. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Have a good morning.
All right, we'll see you later, bud. All right, so, yeah, those are a couple things that are going on in our city of Philadelphia. I got my ear to the ground, Steve.
That's it, man.
Yep, the city beat.
The dick beat.
All right.
Get the whole Preston and Steve Show or the Bizarre Files podcast at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.